Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Gauraj Maharaj Ki. So I've been asked to speak a little bit about this Harinam initiation and the 10 offenses to the Holy Name. According to the Shikshastika, there are 7 results from chanting Hare Krishna. Number 1, it cleanses the mirror of the heart. Number 2, the force of material life is completely removed. I almost lost my teeth. It awakens our spiritual identity. It is the life of all knowledge. It releases in the heart an ever-increasing ocean of transcendental ecstasy. It gives us a taste of what the soul really hankers for, and it is supremely victorious over material existence. So if the Holy Name is always victorious, why do we not achieve attraction for Krishna's name? Know the 7 results that we mentioned. So there are several reasons, but the main reason is that the cause of misfortune, this misfortune of not being able to taste the holy name of the Lord, is that we are offensive in our chanting. The chanting of the holy name should bring us to the stage of pure love, free from material desires, and attain perfection. If this doesn't happen, then it should be understood that we are still committing offenses against the holy name of the Lord. So the 10 offenses are mentioned in a conversation between Sanat Kumara and Narada Muni. And the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy name. So there is a seed of devotion growing in the heart, and to blaspheme a devotee is compared to having a mad elephant stomping on the creeper of devotional service. So one may wonder, who is a sadhu? That means one who is fully surrendered to Krishna, who constantly is chanting Krishna's name, and is very humble, tolerant, not wanting honor for himself, and ready to honor others. Taking shelter of these types of devotees. And there are different types of criticism. Because of someone's social background, or because of someone's committed sinful activities in the past, or some unintentional sin, or just traces of sinful previous habits. These things will be there. So there are many different types of Vaishnavas, and all are meant to be respected. The importance of the association of Krishna's devotees is very, very important in our spiritual development. Because Krishna appears in the heart of the pure devotee along with bhakti devotion. His pleasure-giving potency and his knowledge-giving potency are present within the heart of the devotee. So there are causes for material, for our spiritual or Vaishnava aparadhas. Judging a devotee by material standards, feeling envious of them, finding fault in them. And the main cause is asat sangha, or undesirable association. Because of bad association, we lose that bhakti. So we want to keep good association. We hear of different types of association, to give association, to take association, and just to have basic social dealings. So if one is situated where he can give association of Krishna Katha, he can externally behave normally according to a social custom, but internally be with Krishna. We have to be aware not to take association or allow oneself to become influenced by non-devotee association and values. And we have to be very careful not to commit offenses that can destroy our devotional creeper. So there are three types of aparadhas to a Vaishnava: with our mind, with our words, and with our bodies. First we think, then we talk, then we act. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mind's offenses are not counted in this day, but we must be careful that it doesn't continue to the speaking and acting platform. And how can one free oneself from this Vaishnava aparadha? If one offends a devotee, he should honestly repent, go to the offended devotee, and immediately and seriously beg for forgiveness. Because the devotees are merciful by nature, they'll forgive the offender. It's described that one should not delay and stay in a contaminated state of mind, but should immediately go to that person and offer respectful obeisances and not enter into the vicious cycle of repeated offenses to a Vaishnava. The second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. What distinguishes the holy name of Krishna from the demigods? Vishnu is not subjected to the laws of material nature as the other demigods are. Vishnu is the form of full consciousness and knowledge. So how can we avoid this second offense to be rectified? Again, by sincerely repenting and taking shelter of Krishna and not committing this offense again. If one remembers Krishna in his name, this offense will gradually be vanquished. The third offense, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. What are the characteristics of a bona fide spiritual master? He knows the science of Krishna consciousness, controls his senses, vacha vegam manasa kuda vegam jiva vegam udhara kasta vegam. Rupa Goswami describes that one who can control his urge to speak, mind's demands, the actions of anger, the movements of the tongue, belly, and genital, these persons are qualified to make devotees all over the world. And varna and ashram are not considerations. Only their ability to liberate the jiva from the cycle of birth and death is a consideration. So it's not that one should think one a Vaishnava by birth, but by characteristic. And he teaches by his example, by firmly being situated in his own spiritual life. I have a lot of notes. This is a course I gave in the Philippines. But the way to rectify that offense is to give up bad association and to fall at the feet of the spiritual master and beg for forgiveness. The fourth offense is to blaspheme Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The human being, we have four defects in the acquisition of knowledge. That is, we commit mistakes, we tend to be illusioned, we cheat others and ourselves, and we have imperfect senses in mind. And the scriptures, there's basically one scripture, and that teaches love of God. The Lord is omnipotent and equipped with all energies. He's the source of all rasas. The jiva is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The jivas are eternal, but they are sometimes covered, and they are sometimes liberated. Why is it an offense against the holy name to blaspheme the Vedas? Because the Vedas emphasize the chanting of the holy name of the Lord as a means to achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Vedas consider the chanting of the holy name as the most important, it is an offense to criticize the Vedas. And how can we rectify that offense? By openly repenting and offering obeisances to the scriptures. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination or exaggeration. Some people consider it a great exaggeration when they read that chanting the holy name, one is immediately freed from more sins than the other would be able to commit. Some consider that the enticing results are just baits for the devotees. Oh, come and take this and get something good. But don't forget that bhakti yoga is different from attaining personal gain. It is selfless. The results are sure to appear in the life of a devotee who expects to get the mercy of the Lord and by our endeavor and our offenseless chanting. How can the fifth offense be rectified? In the assembly of devotees, hear and chant with great attention and present the doubts. These devotees will mercifully forgive the one who embraces the offender. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. One man tried to convince Prabhupada that chanting works like hypnotism. Prabhupada said it wasn't hypnotism, but purification. Don't try to explain spiritual phenomena or means and effects with material logic, as the holy name is inconceivable. How can this sixth offense be rectified? Admitting it in the assembly of devotees, begging them to enlighten one about the true nature of the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities in the strength of the holy name. There are three stages of sin: ignorance, the desire to commit a sin, and the sinful act itself. There are intentional and unintentional sins. To commit a sin without purpose, unintentional, like an accidental foul ball, is only temporary and will be washed away by the chanting of the holy names. If someone commits an unintentional sin and thinks it will be washed away by the holy name, then this is an offense and he is a cheater. This means it was premeditated or planned. One should not think themselves to be unimpeachable in an unimpeachable position due to their chanting. This is the I am saved syndrome. We have to be careful of our satsanga, or we may fall victim again to old habits. How do we rectify the seventh offense? One must cleanse himself in the assembly of pure devotee Vaishnavas. Eighth offense is considered the chanting of the holy name as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. The holy names are directly Krishna. The holy names are the process and the goal. In pious activities, the process and the goal are distinguished and are material. One must act in goodness, but ultimately one must act for Krishna's good, be it bad or good. No activity can be compared to the chanting of the holy name, which is non-different from Krishna himself. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. To instruct a person means to initiate him and become his guru. The guru should install faith in the disciple, then initiate him. Also, to openly speak about the confidential glories of the Lord to an unqualified audience or person is considered to be an offense to the holy name. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. We must first understand the nature of material attachments, how they bind the material consciousness, and how they obstruct offenseless chanting. Due to his intelligence being covered by false ego, a person with material mentality sticks to the concept of I and mine and thinks himself the doer. He sees the world as his property and considers himself the creator of his own destiny and enjoyer. Such persons are proud of their knowledge. They consider themselves to be the Lord and Master and believe that they are able to increase and expand their environment through the arts and sciences by their own intelligence. Attachment to bodily designations is a system of symptom of spiritual immaturity. It is an obstacle in the development of devotional service and can only be overcome by complete surrender to the holy name. Now one should become very clear why the offenses to blaspheme devotees is mentioned first. Because all remedies for other offenses strongly emphasize to approach devotees who are not committing these offenses and are purely chanting the holy name. Now there are 10 offenses, but as Maharaj mentioned, there is an 11th offense. And that 11th offense, the root of all other offenses, is to be inattentive while chanting. It is called pramada, which means madness. It is called ashinaya, indifference or lack of attraction. We are attracted to many things, and even while we chant, we feel attracted to many things in the material world. Even after chanting lakhs of rounds, the heart is not engaged and no taste. I remember one time there was a devotee in Gainesville chanting his rounds, and then he got up and he just said, "No taste, no taste, no taste," and walked out the door. Yeah. He came back. He said, "I know what I'm doing. Offense to the Vaishnavas." The reason attachment is caused, the reason is attachment and cause of lack of attraction to Krishna's name. How to give up this offense? One should chant with Vaishnavas who are free from material influence. This helps one to diminish one's attachment to material life, and gradually the heart becomes attracted to the holy name. Another point of inattention is jagya, or laziness. This means to chant with a murky mind, or to stop chanting to attend a so-called important activity. Like Jayadvaita Maharaj says, those who interrupt his japa are called japa terrorists. This morning I was chanting with Brajavihari Prabhu, and my phone rang, and I said, "Forget it." Then I told him, "Japa terrorist." But then I went and seen whose name it was, and it was Ridayananda Maharaj. So I didn't think he was. I was Ridayananda Maharaj, so I couldn't consider him a japa terrorist. Then there's vipshekpa, which means distraction. Distraction produces illusion, like in the mind, which is the cause of all other forms of inattentive chanting and endangers other types of offenses. It impairs one from overcoming the attraction for wealth, women, position in the material success, as well as the propensity of cheating. In order to avoid distraction, one should follow the rules of Vaishnava etiquette, absorb oneself in the festival days, as Maharaj was explaining that in Dhrudumna Maharaj it said, and to pray for Krishna's mercy while we chant. We should concentrate on improving the quality of the holy name, and not just the number of rounds, but the quality of our chanting should be increased day by day. Every day we should see. I was giving this example to one devotee the other day, that when I was a Gurukul teacher, I took my boys to martial arts because our children tend to be little chatriyas carrying swords from the time they're 2 years old. I noticed that our boys they're always like little chatriyas, and even the girls have this tendency too. And when we went to karate, the black belts were all the way on the left, and our boys were all the way on the right in the beginning, and they were looking over at the black belts, jumping and doing this and doing that. And our teacher told them, "No, you don't look at them. You look at yourself. See where you were at the last time you came here, and see where you're at today. How much progress you have made personally. Don't worry about other people. Worry about yourself. Worry about other people. But in one sense, not worry, but be concerned that today I will chant better rounds than I chanted yesterday. More attentive, more focused, more absorbed, with more and more from the heart. The chanting must come from the heart." So these are the 10 offenses which must be avoided. They're very elaborately explained in the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which have been summarized by several devotees, Mahanidhi Swami, Satchidananda Swami, and many wonderful books. And they're all available. As Maharaj said, everything is available. All we have to do is take it. The mercy is just sitting there. All we have to, it's just like if there was, you were hungry and there was a plate of prasadam sitting there and you didn't eat it. So now we have the most ecstatic part of the, not the most ecstatic, but the favorite, one of the favorite parts, when the new initiates get their names, and then we can all make up nicknames for them. And actually, one time, Prabhupada said we shouldn't use these nicknames. And he actually mentioned that one time, that they were talking about G.M. Maharaj and B.V. Maharaj and this Maharaj, that Maharaj. And he said, no, no, I call them by their name. Very important. But they gave us spiritual names so that we remember Krishna. So we have to remember that. We have to remember that these names are non-different than Krishna. And they're meant, that we're meant to be servants of Krishna. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.